Blog Talk Radio.
Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the eighth edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. Praise Jesus, friends. You know what? This world is so full of mystery and marvel. You know, many of us may be down right now. By now we already thought Jesus would have already returned. You know, there's so many things that we're looking at, signs in the heavens like Elenin and Planet X and all these other things, strange things that indicate his soon return. Earthquakes and all sorts of strange weather patterns, things on the earth that indicate his soon return. Social upheaval, political upheaval, financial upheaval, all these things were foretold in the Bible. And Jesus said, when you see these things, know that your redemption draweth nigh. So I know many of us, including myself, are disappointed that Jesus isn't here yet. But friends, we need to keep our focus on Jesus and only Jesus. That's our rock, and that's our foundation. So the challenge we face is living every day like it's our last. and the day that he returns for his bride. And we have to do that with all diligence, as if the work we do daily is going to last for 1,000 years. And that's an enigma, friends. And that can only be solved if we're like the branch abiding in the vine, Jesus. So that's what I want to focus on today, how to have fullness of joy. You know, maybe the best way to start is to just ask you a question. Have you ever lost your car keys? You know, you look all over for them and you just can't find them. Then all of a sudden you check in your coat pocket and they're right there. Do you know what the problem was? We're looking in all the wrong places. That's the same thing with joy, friends. We look for joy in all the wrong places. Joy's not a nicety in the life of Christians. I'm telling you, it's a necessity. We must have continual, conspicuous, and contagious joy in our lives if we're right with God our Father and if we're walking with Jesus Christ. That joy is unspeakable, and that joy is full of glory. Now, a Christian without joy, a true Christian without joy, is a contradiction in terms. It's like speaking of a heavenly devil, you know, or dry water. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And I know many Christians have lost their joy, and there's several reasons why it's so important in our lives that we don't. First of all, it's essential for soul winning. The joy of the Lord in our lives is our best advertisement for Jesus Christ. King David was full of that joy, and he lost it. And here's how he prayed in Psalms 51, 12, and 13. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold in me thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, David prayed for the joy of his salvation to be restored. So notice, he wasn't saying, Lord, I lost my salvation. He lost his joy, and he needed it to win souls for the kingdom, just like we do. It's essential if we're going to win souls for the kingdom and glorify God. It's also essential for us to bear these crazy burdens in life, and I know we all face them. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's also needed to deal with the heartaches and the trials of life. We all have them, folks. I mean, there's all kinds of difficulties and obstacles in our life, but joy, true joy in Jesus Christ, is the lubricant of life. It'll take those wearinesses and burdens of life and make them bearable. Now let's look at what Jesus said to his apostles before he faced that gruesome cross at Calvary. In John 15:11, Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, and he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And there's 3 points I want to get across today about this joy. First of all, it's not our joy, it's his joy. He gave it to us. He wants us to have his joy. So what is this joy? What is this joy of Jesus? First of all, it's an abounding joy. The joy of Jesus is an abounding joy. He desires that his joy might remain in us and that our joy might be full. Let's look at what the writer of Hebrews said about Jesus in Hebrews 1:9. And this is what the writer said, and he's talking about Jesus. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." This word gladness here is another word for joy, and it literally means a joy that leaps and dances. Isn't that exciting? This is not a half-hearted joy. This is not a so-so joy. This is an abounding and supernatural joy, and Jesus wants us to have it. Now, I don't know what your concept of Jesus is, but if you don't see Jesus as the joyful Jesus, then you don't know Jesus, friends. He's not some pale and sanctimonious man with ice water for blood. Jesus had a life of abounding joy, and we ought to, too, because we know Jesus. So, do you know this Jesus that I know? You know, this Jesus loved children, and the children loved him. And here's a few verses that support that. In John 17:13, it's written, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And look over in Philippians 4:4. Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." And the only way to rejoice always is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about joy, we must understand the difference between this joy and what so many people mistake for joy, which is really happiness. You know, joy gives meaning to life, whereas happiness is only a smile on our face. And sure, you look better if you have a smile on your face, but you don't always have to smile or go around with some kind of goony grin to have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. So what's the difference between this abounding joy that I'm talking about and happiness? Now, if you have happiness, that's fine. You remember that movie, Bambi, and there was that character named Thumper? He said, now, if it makes you happy to be happy, go ahead and be happy. That's fine, folks, but I'm talking about something much better. Just remember that happiness comes from what happens in your life, and that's why it's called happiness. And if what you wait for depends upon this, then you're going to be a prisoner of your circumstances. Because there is coming times when your hap or your happenstance, and that's where that word happiness comes from, is bad. And I'm talking B-A-D bad. Believe me, I know, folks. That is the time when you're going to need the joy of Jesus. Happiness depends on what happens in your life, whereas joy depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, we are to rejoice in the Lord always, and only that way. And that is the only way, and that's the only thing that never changes. So happiness may be cosmetic, it's all on the surface, but joy is deep and it involves character. Joy will help us to meet our deepest needs. You see, happiness is more like a thermometer. It registers the conditions of our life, whereas joy is like a thermostat, and it controls those conditions. So joy is inward, whereas happiness is outward. Happiness evaporates in times of trouble, whereas those circumstances will like draw you around like a dog on a leash, whereas joy in those times of trouble will be intensified. Now, when joy and happiness work together, that's wonderful. When the happiness of circumstances and the joy of the Lord are in harmony, that's great, folks, but that's not what life is all about. So when the happiness goes, we need joy all the more. And joy can be intensified in these times of trouble. And, you know, sometimes people mistakenly think that joy is meant to remove pain. No, it's to help us bear the pain. And if you're going through pain, that's all the more reason that you truly need the joy of Jesus. Joy is not a subtraction of the problems of life. It's an addition of power to help us meet these problems. There's no doubt about it, folks. We're going to have problems. And the joy we have in Jesus Christ is truly an abounding joy when it helps us get through these troubles of life. So this joy of Jesus is an abounding joy. It's also an abiding joy. And what do I mean by that? Let's look again at verse 15:11 of the Gospel of John. These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus desires that his joy remains in us. So this isn't some kind of fleeting joy, some kind of circumstantial joy. No, this joy is for daytime and nighttime, good times and bad times. It's a joy for the rainy days and the sunny days. And this is a joy that we need to have in a time of disappointment and tragedy. We're to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ always, folks. You might be saying, you can say that. You can say that, Broken, because you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the hurt I have right now. Well, friends, I don't know your heartache. And I don't know your tears. And I don't know your fears or the sickness you may have had or the pain you may have gone through. And I just don't know the situations you're facing with finances or your life or whatever it may be. And I can honestly tell you I don't, but I do know my Jesus. And I'm not saying this to merely quote words of Jesus, but I'm telling you that this Jesus has helped me through my tough times, my dark times, my troubling times. And Jesus says this, and when he says these things to the disciples in 15:11 of the Gospel of John, remember he was facing the darkness of Gethsemane and the bloody cross of Calvary. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was speaking of his joy in this time of darkness and of this time of trouble in his life. He was not some morose person. even when he was facing the cross, friends. And yes, he had tears, and yes, he had pain, and he had agony, but still he had that joy of the Lord in his heart. Here's a few things about this abiding joy that we ought to keep in mind. You know, it remains steadfast in our sorrows. Look at John 16:20. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy." That's his joy, folks. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Do you have sorrow right now? If so, God will turn your sorrow into joy. This is also a joy that's triumphant in tribulation. You know, we all have tribulation. Do you have some tribulation right now? Jesus said in this world we will have tribulation. We won't escape it, friends. Look at what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:4. "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying in you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation." Here's Paul in all kinds of trials and tribulations, yet he's exceedingly joyful. He's joyful in tribulation. Remember, Paul and Silas sang songs of praise while they were in prison. And you can't do that unless you have the joy of Jesus on your heart. And this abiding joy, it's also lasting in losses. Have you lost something? Something you needed? Something you wanted? Look what the writer in Hebrews said in 10:34. "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully of the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance." You took joyfully to the spoils of your goods? I mean, what the writer is saying there is, imagine if you got home from church on Sunday and you discovered that everything you had was lost in a fire. Your house burned down, or thieves stole everything that you had, or maybe you've been swindled. That's what it means to have your goods spoiled. And that, yeah, in that time of loss, you still have joy. So if your goods go and you lose your joy, you're getting your joy from the wrong places, friends. Your joy probably came from circumstances and was mistakenly called joy when it was really happenstance or happiness. And it wasn't the true joy, who is only from He who is. The joy of the Lord is lasting in all these losses, and it's also abundant in affliction. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and Paul wrote, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Ghost." Affliction, yes. Sickness, yes. Pain, yes. Trouble, yes. Joy, yes. On top of it all, Paul says, affliction is the link to joy. So the joy of Jesus is an abounding joy. It's an abiding joy, and it's His joy that remains with us. So finally, His joy is an abundant joy. Again, let's look at John 15:11. I just want to keep driving this verse home. Jesus said these words right before He went to that bloody cross on Calvary. He said these words. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you." Now, what things were these? It's important we know this, because it's essential that we know them so that His joy might remain in us. So if we go back to the beginning portion of that chapter in John, chapter 15, we'll see what He spoke to them, and we'll have the recipe for abounding and abundant joy. In John 15:10, Jesus said, "If ye keep my commands, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in His love." So we're required to do something so that we might have His joy in us. We're to keep His commands, and then He'll enable us to abide in His love. So what's it mean to abide? Well, we have to understand what Jesus was talking about in this chapter. He was using a vine and its branches as an analogy. He called Himself the vine, and He said that we're to be the branches. And what Jesus is saying here is that branches on a vine abide in the vine. It's a fact of the matter. And it's how we obtain true joy. Okay, that all sounds great. But this word abide, it sounds so religious. What does it truly mean in plain English to abide? So how do we abide? so that we may have this abounding and abundant joy in our lives. So what's it mean to abide? I'm just going to go through some points in terms of what it means. First, it means to surrender. Let's look at John 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except if it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Now think about this for a minute. Just imagine a vine. And that vine is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now imagine a branch, and that's you. Now that branch exists for one reason and only one reason. The vine. It doesn't have two reasons for being. It doesn't even have one and a half. It has one reason for being. The vine upon which it grows. Are you thinking that's impossible in your life? Are you thinking, "Oh, but I have a job. You just don't understand. I have a family. I have issues in my life. It's impossible for me to exist for one reason and one reason only." Well, I'm telling you something, friends. You must totally and completely abide in that vine called Jesus Christ. And that only happens if you surrender. There was this great preacher from the past. His name was F.B. Meyer. He's one of those guys that you can pick up inspirational books on from the Christian bookstores. So a lot of the stuff he preached still exists. And in one of his devotional books, he wrote about how he struggled for a long time in his life, his Christian life, of trying to obtain the joy of the Lord. He talked about once he heard a young man full of the joy of the Lord, a young man speak about this abounding and abundant joy that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And after this young man finished speaking, Dr. Myers approached the young man and asked him how he managed to acquire this joy. And the young man told Dr. Myers that it requires total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is this young guy speaking to this doctor, this experienced man in the Word of God. And then Myers looked at him and said, the young man looked at Myers and said, "Have you surrendered to Jesus Christ?" And Dr. Myers replied, "Well, in a general way, I have." And the young man replied, "In a general way? That doesn't cut it, sir. You must be all in for Jesus Christ." So Dr. Meyer thanked the young man and walked away a bit stunned. And that night, in his room, he decided to go before Jesus and work it out. So he locked his door, got on his knees, and prayed, "Lord Jesus, I want to surrender it all to you." Have you ever done that? And he describes this process like this. He says it was like holding a bunch of keys to the Lord and saying, "Lord, here are all the keys in my life. Take them." And then the Lord asked him, "Are they all here?" And Myers replied to the Lord, "Well, Lord, they're all there, but one tiny little key. I've kept that one back." And Jesus replied, "Well, F.B. Myers, I must have that one too, if you truly want to surrender to me." And then in the other side of his mind, Myers wrote that he heard the devil saying, "Don't do it. Don't give that one to him too. If you do, there's no telling what he might ask you to do." And then Myers went on about how he struggled with this. And finally, he just cried out to the Lord, "Lord, I don't have the strength to give you that key. Will you please take it from me?" So the Lord took Myers' key out of his hand, and he walked over to a cabinet hanging on the wall, and he opened it. And inside that cabinet, Dr. Myers said he saw the vileness and the wickedness of sin that he had never seen in himself. And that night, he repented of it all. He repudiated it. And every and all of those desires of that hidden sin locked deep in his heart vanished instantly from his heart. He said he went to sleep, expecting to wake up the next morning full of hallelujahs and praises. But instead he woke up with this quiet confidence. All that day he walked around saying one thing, "I'm his, I'm his, I am his." He went on later in that inspirational piece to say, "I am entirely and completely his." Friends, can you say that? Now, a vine and a branch are connected together. That's why this is such a great analogy that Jesus used in this teaching in John 15. So the life of an abiding branch involves surrender to the vine. You know, it also involves dependence. The joy of Jesus is given when we depend upon the Lord for all in our lives. Again, let's look at John 15:5. And Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Think about that. Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. Are you thinking, but wait a minute, there are some things I can do? Well, that may be your opinion, but I'd rather stand on the Word of God. And the Word of God says, without me you can do nothing. Think about this for a minute. What can a branch do without the vine? Absolutely nothing. That is a big zero, folks, a big zero with the edges trimmed off. In fact, truly, without the vine, although that branch may still look alive, think about it like a beautiful vase of roses. But without the vine upon which those roses draw their strength, those roses are dead. They'll never go through a fullness of life and bud and then create a seed pod. No, they're dead. Okay, you may be saying, some things I can do. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, anything you do is nothing in eternity. To be a branch means to be totally and completely surrendered and dependent upon the vine. Now, when you think you are something, then God cannot be everything in your life. He cannot become everything unless you become nothing. But don't worry about that, because he specializes in making something out of nothing. And that happens only when you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to abide, we must surrender, depend, and rest. In John 15:9, we see that Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Friends, rest in his love. He loves you. This isn't merely rhetoric, friends. This is rock-rib truth. Jesus loves you. But first, you must abide in his love. And then that will give you rest. When you finally see yourself as the object of the love of Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to say, ah, he loves me. And then nothing, absolutely nothing else in this world, any disappointment, any tribulation, any trial, none of it will matter. Just imagine that a human being could have a conversation with a branch. It might go something like this. The branch might say, you humans, you never seem to have any peace. You're always running about, upset, knocking things over. And then the man might reply, well, you branches seem to have peace. How do you do it? And the branch would say, well, it's really quite simple. I've reduced all of my cares down to one, and that is that I abide in the vine. I don't worry about anything else. In the summertime, when I need a drink, I don't worry about it. That's the vine's job. I just abide in the vine. And then the vine puts his roots deep down into the ground and draws water for me. And the man stood there and listened to the vine and simply nodded. And then the branch continued. Then in the spring, when it's time for me to bud, I don't worry about it. I simply abide in the vine. And then at harvest time, I don't worry about the grapes I'm to bear, or how big they are, or how few, or how sweet. That's none of my business. I don't produce the fruit. I merely bear it. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. The Holy Spirit produces that joy, folks. We can't produce joy no matter how hard we try. Just like the branch can't produce a grape, we abide. And just like the branch, we don't produce the fruit. We bear it. So there's another crucial concept to abide, and that's obedience. Jesus spoke of obeying. Look at John 15:10. I don't have time to read it. He just says to keep his commandments. Now, Jesus spoke of his joy because he kept the commandments of his Father. Now, there is no other way to be joyful in Jesus than to trust and obey. And if you ask, if I ask, how many of you love Jesus? I suppose most of you would say, well, I do. But Jesus said that to love him, you must keep his commands. And I'm going to ask you, how many of you are keeping his commands? And then Jesus promised at the end of the verse, in 14:21, he that hath my commands and keeps them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. Now, how does Jesus manifest? What's that mean? The manifestation of his presence in our hearts, friends, is the joy of Jesus. That's the joy unspeakable, the glory when we obey the Lord. And finally, when we do all of that, we can rejoice And now it's come full circle back to John 15:11 again. And these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. These things, the vine, the branches, he has spoken of in terms of our relationship to him. And when we abide in him, like the branches abides in the vine, our joy might be full. Now, I know we have problems, and I know we have disappointments and heartaches, but we need to have this joy, and we need to have it all the time, folks. Jesus didn't rejoice because the demons were subject to him. No, no, he rejoiced because he was abiding in the Father. And likewise, we should rejoice because we're abiding in Jesus. Is your name written in heaven? All this means, all this I've said is meaningless if your name isn't written in heaven, friends. So I'm just saying, to find true, genuine joy, it's going to be meaningless unless you're in Jesus. That joy is only found in Jesus. And that joy is only going to be found for those who are saved. Are you letting the devil take the joy out of your life? If so, repent. Come back to Jesus. Depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ and rest in Jesus. Do it, and do it now, and then obey Jesus. Trust and obey. There's no other way, friends. And I promise you, his joy will be renewed in your heart and in your home. That's called abiding in Jesus. And for those of you who are listening to this and aren't saved, take that first step. Call upon the mercy of God. Beg him to forgive you of your sins and repent and make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Now trust in him and rejoice that your name too may be written in heaven. Folks, I'm out of time. I love you. Go out full of the joy of Jesus. Full of the joy of Jesus.